Over the past 20 years, the number of refugees and migrants worldwide has more than doubled. In 1997, there were more than 33 million displaced people around the world, and now that number is at 68 million. According to the United Nations Refugee Agency, more people have been forced to leave their homes today than at the end of World War II. And unlike what you might think, more of them are moving to cities. A new report released today from the International Rescue Committee looks at more than 20 cities throughout the world and their efforts to integrate these refugees. Los Angeles is one of the cities that was profiled, and I spoke to Linda Lopez, the director of the Los Angeles Mayor's Office on Immigrant Affairs, alongside Samer Saliba, urban advisor for the International Rescue Committee and co-author of the report.
One of the main goals of the report was to sort of dispel the misconception that refugees and internally displaced are living in dusty camps in the middle of nowhere. That's just not the case anymore in 21st century displacement. Nearly 60% of refugees and about half of internally displaced are not living in camps, but in towns and cities. And actually, if you look at the refugees coming from Syria, that number actually jumps up to 90%. So those Syrian refugees who are in Lebanon, Jordan, Turkey, those kinds of countries are the vast majority of them are not in camps, but in towns and cities. And so what we wanted to do with this report was just really get a global snapshot of what that looks like and how city governments around the world are at the front lines of displacement worldwide and what city governments are doing to address that.
And you know, we've talked a lot about the migration here in the United States. You know, it's been everything from becoming a political talking point to being an important issue that we really need to address here. But this is an issue globally. Tell us a little bit about what that snapshot looks like.
Globally, there are over 68 million people displaced currently, right now. Every 2 seconds, a person is forced from their homes by fear and violence. So at the International Rescue Committee, where I work, now is the time where we're being called, our country's offices are being called to action, you know, greater than we ever have before. And so that's the sort of framework that we're working within. At the same time, the world is going to be 75%, I believe, urban by 2050. So the world now is more urban than it is not. And urban displacement is happening within the wider framework of urbanization. And so we as a humanitarian organization, you know, displacement is at its highest, urbanization is at its highest. What we need to do is really ring the bell on the need for preparedness, the need to work with city governments, the need for solutions over rhetoric, and to really focus on how we can support those at the front line who are dealing with displacement now, but also will be dealing with displacement as it grows into the future.
And you talked about those on the front lines. Linda, I want to bring you in here. Can you tell us a little bit about Los Angeles's history with refugee resettlement specifically?
Yeah, of course. You know, Los Angeles has been a destination city for not only refugees, but immigrants. 40% of LA's population is born outside of the U.S. The International Rescue Committee has had an office in the LA area and supporting refugees since 1975. So their presence has been incredibly important in the resettlement process, particularly in a place like LA, where you have more than 200 languages spoken. In terms of our diversity and the range of, you know, cultures and people. So I think that for a place like LA, especially in light of the more, you know, recent caps on refugee resettlement generally in the United States, it is so important that we continue that work here locally.
And Samer, Linda mentioned the cap. As you're doing this reporting, the U.S. administration recently capped the number of refugees that could be settled within the U.S. in 2019 to 30,000, which is the lowest since 1980. How does that number, that cap, shape the work that you're doing in this report or future work?
Well, it certainly doesn't make it easier. And what we're really trying to do with this report is highlight the fact that member states and national governments are coming up with these policies, but these policies do not reflect the reality. The reality is that refugee populations can actually be a benefit to local communities and to cities themselves. And that's the opportunity that all cities have. It's just a matter of providing with the resources that a city like Los Angeles or a city like New York has to cities like Kampala, Uganda, or to Mogadishu, Somalia. And so just the needs looking forward are dramatic. And the current policies and discourse at an international level is not recognizing that reality.
Linda, give us a sense of what are the essential components that help refugees adjust in LA.
One of the areas that we've been very focused on is how do we, for example, enroll children who are immigrants or, you know, are refugees or asylum seekers here in our city. And we have some great partnerships that we've developed with our local school district. We have a specific center that's designated for, you know, unaccompanied minors, for example, who have come to the city, and to also help their parents, not only with enrollment, but also with mental health services and other wraparound services that I think have been very important in their integration.
And Linda, we also know that the Office of Refugee Resettlement said that it expects that half of all the families separated by the U.S. administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy will actually be detained in greater L.A. Is the city prepared for that influx of folks?
We're very prepared. We, in fact, coordinated a strategy with the county. One of the things that we've done immediately, because cities are first responders in many cases when we have, you know, populations that arrive, is to also provide legal representation and working with local legal organizations that are representing some of the families that have been reunified. And we've also created, under Mayor Garcetti and the county, the LA Justice Fund, which is a fund that provides legal assistance to immigrants, asylum seekers, refugee populations, domestic violence survivors who are eligible for, you know, T visas or U visas. So it's a public-private partnership that allows for people to get that legal representation, especially those who are facing deportation.
And, you know, we established that this is not just a domestic issue. This is an international issue. And we've seen waves of migration continually, not just coming here to the United States, throughout Central America, throughout the EU. You know, I mean, this is not something that's going to stop. In fact, it might even increase given climate change and everything else that we've laid out. I'd like to ask you both, what do you think are the biggest challenges that cities will face in the next 10 years? Samer?
It's preparedness, I think, number one. You know, I mentioned the example of Kampala. When I speak with city officials and tell them that your city will be the biggest city in the world in about 30 years, they simply do not have the resources to deal with that. The point is it takes all hands on deck to think not just reactively, which is very much how I think the international system has worked, but not being surprised when you see this amount of people show up on your doorstep, because this is the trend, as you mentioned, and it has been for decades.
And Linda, what about you? What do you think the biggest challenges cities will face over the next 10 years?
Housing. It's also access to education. You know, we're not going to see declines in the number of people that are arriving to destination cities like LA or New York or Chicago. I think it's imperative that leaders take that challenge and really create not only the infrastructure, but also think through how other partners can come along in this process of agenda setting for their integration.
Linda Lopez is the director of the Los Angeles Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs, and Samer Saliba is the urban advisor for the International Rescue Committee. Thanks to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.